Welcome to the Business Resilience Decoded podcast, brought to you by Aspalis Advisors and the Disaster Recovery Journal. Crisis management in today's world is ever-changing, and this podcast is our commitment to help you navigate successful outcomes for any crisis you may face. I'm your host, Vanessa Matthews. I specialize in providing insights and solutions for crisis, continuity, and resilience across industries from real estate and healthcare to terrorism in the airline and transportation worlds. No matter what industry you're in, this podcast will provide you the tools to build resilience in your organization. Welcome back to another episode of the Business Resilience Decoded podcast. I am your host, Vanessa Matthews. Today, we're going to be talking about four strategies for you to have buy-in to build your crisis management programs. So here's one thing I learned, and it took me 9 years as a business owner to figure this out. You ready for this? People do not buy what they do not understand. It took me a long time to figure that out. So I used to talk to people and say, we do crisis management, we do emergency management. And they would look like deer in the headlights, like, so what's that? Do you fly in on a helicopter and save me if I'm drowning? Do you fight terrorists for a living? All these crazy ideas, because just the words crisis management or resilience mean nothing to the average person, right? It wasn't until COVID that actually helped my business, because then I didn't have to explain to people what a crisis was. Everybody knew what it was and how we were all impacted by crises. And the reason why that's important is as you're looking to build your organization and to build and gain the support that you need, we have to be able to communicate in a way that's effective, because your internal stakeholders will never buy what they do not understand, right? So in other words, Brené Brown has said, clear is kind. I have a great friend, she's a sales coach, and she always says, the more clear you can be, the more kind it is, right? So we have an organization that we've been partnering with for the past couple years, and we came in to do it emergency management and response assessment, some planning, and some training for their workforce. And we had two groups of people. We had the group who this work impacted severely in their day-to-day, and then we had executive leadership who was typically not involved, and they did not see the value of emergency management and the risk management department, because in their experience in COVID, particularly, this department did not add value. They were not at the table. They were not driving the discussion. They were not doing anything that was supportive to the executive team. And so they lost their funding, they lost their resources, and they ultimately lost their entire department. And so we really had to go back to the basics. And as we partnered with this group, we've had to really come in and think about why, who, how, what. And those are the four things that we're going to talk about in today's podcast.
Physical threats such as severe weather, infrastructure failures, or civil unrest are forcing everyone to prepare for unpredictability. OnSolve is here to help leaders navigate this complexity within their organization. As the leading critical event management provider that mitigates physical threats, OnSolve helps organizations to remain agile when a crisis strikes. Using the most trusted expertise and reliable AI-powered risk intelligence, critical communications, and incident management technology, the OnSolve platform enables enterprises, small to medium organizations, and all levels of government to detect, anticipate, and mitigate threats that impact their people, places, and property. For more information about OnSolve or to request a demo, please visit www.onsolve.com.
So step one, why? People don't buy what you do. They buy why you do it. Right? People don't buy what you do. They buy why you do it. So in this particular example, the leadership team who we were supporting did not care about the what. They didn't care about the plan. They didn't care about the training. They honestly didn't even want to be in the room. So our strategy and the conversations that we had with the president's office and the executive team was to really get a better understanding of why do they care, or what do they care about? And what we learned is the president's office and the executive team cared about reputation management. They cared about, how do I continue to build my brand globally? And how do we ensure that our ideal customer has access to our products and services globally and around the world? They cared about showing up and supporting their workforce. They cared about their new campus on the West Coast and how the work we were doing was going to be able to ultimately enable them to support that cause. So how do we figure out the why? So it's pretty easy to say that every department cares about something different, right? My marketing department cares about something different than my finance department. My HR department cares about something different than my operations department. One of the strategic things that we did is very similar to what I would consider to, you know, any research I do before I go to a networking event or relationship building event. I typically will receive a list of who the attendees are, maybe their name, their title, their company at best. And then if I'm familiar with the organization and who's going to be there, what I typically do is take a look at, well, who are the people that are going to be at this event that I really want to meet? And why do I want to meet them, right? What is it that I'm doing that aligns to their why, and how can I add value to those people? And then once I'm clear about who's on my list, right, who can influence things that I might need support on, what am I doing that can support them and their causes, what connections can we help to make for one another, then I take a look and I say, well, who in my network knows those people? And do I have any existing relationships that I can pick up the phone and call now to say, hey, I'm going to go into this event and this person's going to be there. Can you help me make a soft introduction so that when I meet them in person, it helps to facilitate the relationship a bit quicker, so it's not cold. And so that same type of work that we do before a networking event or before a relationship building event is really the same type of research that we should be doing from a resiliency and a security perspective, right? Who are the people that we need to have at the table and why do we need them there? So that's step one. So step two is all about the who, and the who and the why tie very closely together because it's hard for you to know your why unless you know the who, right? So in this same particular customer example, we have the leadership team and then we have the operational team who our work directly impacts. And what we worked with through the operational team with this customer are who are all of the other stakeholders across this business and across the organization that have a role to play or that impact or influence this decision or the support that you're going to need to build this program forward. And so they basically helped us to kind of think through an org chart or a sponsor spine, right? Of who are the right people that we need at the table, but also who influences who. And so through that relationship, we were able to pinpoint who on the operations team had influence, right? And in certain meetings or certain trainings, or when we came to do our on-site assessment, the customer helped us to understand, as you're having this conversation, as you're sharing this information, as you're talking through these points, these are the things that I need you to hone in on to better influence this person over here to get me the support that they need. And support doesn't always look like funding. Support looks like I'm going to come to the next meeting because it added value the first time. Support can look like I'm going to attend the next training. Support looks like I'm going to help influence a policy change or a process change so that we can de-risk this situation and help to make sure that the operations team has what they need to move forward for the business. And so understanding your why in step one and then getting clarity on your who in step two is very, very important. In another example, we're working with a manufacturing company that's global, and we have two very similar teams, right? We have a operational team that is international and they need a different set of support. They have a language barrier. They have different challenges. And then we have the corporate team, and what the corporate team is very different and what they want looks very different than what the operations team and what they are looking for. And so we've had to be very strategic about how do we partner with these two groups of people to make sure that we're clear on the why and the who for both of those groups, so that everybody gets what they need, but ultimately the organization gets the outcomes and the capabilities for true crisis management and emergency response within the business. So step three is all about how. So once we have a clear why, we know our who, we have the right people in the room, we have the stakeholders there, they're all ready to listen to hear, how do we get it done? To me, it's all about having clear, concise communication, right? And typically that starts before the meeting even begins. And it's all about If I'm going to invite you into a room, what's on the agenda? What are the outcomes? And how, you know, what are the things that we're going to move through in the amount of time that we have you there so that you can find value in this conversation and that we have a clear ask, right? Or clear guidance or clear instructions from even those stakeholders that can help to guide where this conversation is going to go next. So for example, one of our customers who we've been partnering with, one of their big challenges was they have a huge space that they leverage for outside events and outside stakeholders who don't typically have any involvement with the mixed-use space that they own. And so our role in this engagement was to really help this particular client to build clear and effective communication so that in the event that something happened, that they had something that was readily available and could support the operation. So our team was responsible for building a front and back one-page document for clear communication to support this line of business. So the reason why this one-page document was so important is because the leadership cared about minimizing reputational risk. They cared about de-risking the operations, and they cared about revenue, right? Because at the end of the day, most leaders care about a number. And typically that number is income, you know, revenue, safety, et cetera. And so this product or this document that our team was able to help that client to produce literally helped the executive team to achieve the three things that they cared about, right? It helped to minimize reputational risk. One, because when things are readily available, it's less time that we have to take on the back end to get the approvals, to get the guidance, to get the support, et cetera, right? But number two, as they were hosting events in their facility, they had documentation and things that were readily available for the participants, the attendees, and for the employees, which ultimately helped them to move around and do things quicker, faster, and better because they had better support, more clear processes, and more efficient communication. And so prior to our partnership within the organization, those things did not exist. There was much more chaos. You know, things didn't really have a complete structure. Folks in corporate, folks on the local level did not have a clear line of communication on what was needed. And even some of the partnerships that they were able to develop as a result of building a better communication plan were not in place, had that partnership between us not existed, right? And so having a clear communication and understanding how we're going to get to where we are and where we want to be and helping to close that gap is very critical in order for organizations to build effective crisis management programs internally. So once we're clear on why we're doing it, who's involved, how we're going to get it done, it drives down to the what, right? And in this particular example, the what in this scenario was a one-page communication plan. Very simple. But again, the deliverable isn't the outcome, right? And so what the client ultimately wanted was clear communication, effective processes, clarity for what's going on at the leadership level, confidence that the local teams had what they needed to be successful, reducing reputational risk, quicker responses in times of disaster or crisis, right? But it wasn't the deliverable. It was the partnership and bringing them in and enfolding them into the process. And one of the things that came up with one of our clients, you know, one of the executive team members asked about their experience. And the comment was made, you know, through this process, we've been involved and we've been embedded into the process for how this is going to work here. And through the partnership that we've had as a client, we've now gotten more out of emergency response and emergency management than we ever have in years before. And so on previous episodes, I believe back in 2017 or 2018, we had David Phillips on from Faster Glass. And he talked about the need to design with your people and not for your people. And that's one thing that we really take to heart as a team is how do we ensure that when we're doing this work, that we're engaging the right people? I always tell clients, I'm happy to come in and build a plan and write it and go in our little cubbyhole and do it without you because you don't want to be involved and because you don't have time. But the reality is that's going to waste your time. It's going to waste your money. And your stakeholders are going to be upset that they spent these hours to have these conversations and the outcome that they want to achieve, you will never get, Because the reality is, if you hire a consultant or anybody to come in and do the work for you and build it for you, and you're not involved, your team doesn't win. There is a methodology, there is an approach, there is a way, right, where we can help to take that time off of your hands. But in reality, you have to be involved because you are the ones who are responsible for responding to the needs of your business, not your consultant, not some third party or anyone else. And so having that clear what and having the clarity as a team that your what is twofold. You have a deliverable, but you also have an outcome. And so anytime that you're trying to build an effective crisis management program, be clear on the outcomes that you're trying to get accomplished. And that way your why, your how, your who, and your what are all in alignment to the outcomes that you want to get accomplished.
Thank you for listening to the Business Resilience Decoded podcast, brought to you by Aspalis Advisors and Disaster Recovery Journal. Make sure you check out the show notes for this episode to see all the upcoming events, programs, and ways we can support you. Make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts, leave us a review, and share it with a friend. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you in the next episode.